All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Go. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 54. Beat the clock. Matt, what's the news?
Wait, what?
We're done.
You're going way too fast.
Cut.
I am leaving for vacation. We are cutting this motherfucker in an hour.
Vacation from what?
From you. From you. And we should point out at this time also very quickly that our nappy-headed black person, what's the expression?
Frotastic. Oh, nappy-headed hoe.
Our nappy-headed hoe cut his nappy off.
Well, he was feeling offended, and he didn't know how he was going to live the rest of his life with such anguish. And so he thought the proper solution was to remove the nappiness.
I did not cut this off on purpose. This was a hate crime.
You hated it?
I guess.
Well, I'll miss old Muffinhead.
He'll be back. I give him time.
Yeah, he'll be back.
We have to go through the cycles. I figure in another couple of weeks we'll have Mohawk Boy, and then Muffinhead will come back soon.
Yeah, Mohawk Boy. It is getting to be spring, isn't it?
That's right. So what are we talking about now? What's in the news today?
Yeah.
Today in the news, I learned we found a planet with water in the atmosphere.
No. Our news,
news. I'm sorry. Susan Sarandon and John Goodman are in negotiations to play the parents of Emil Hirsch in the Wachowski brothers' version of Speed Racer.
John Goodman?
Hey, I like John Goodman.
So do I, but...
It's not a Coen brother film. Does he belong? I don't know.
That's interesting.
We have an official synopsis of the second Hellboy film that was leaked out online this week. After an ancient truce existing between humankind and the invisible realm of the fantastic is broken, hell on Earth is ready to erupt. A ruthless leader who treads the world above and the one below defies his bloodline and awakens an unstoppable army of creatures. Now it's up to the planet's toughest, roughest superhero to battle the merciless dictator and his marauders. He may be red, he may be horned, he may be misunderstood, but when you need the job done right, it's time to call in Hellboy. Could they take what potentially could have been, or what could be an awesome movie, and make it sound completely and thoroughly ridiculous anymore?
You're the only one who made it sound ridiculous. I thought it was in your reading.
Yeah, I thought it sounded really good, actually.
I think that description is ridiculous.
I think you're being a little harsh on it.
Well, fine. You can say that.
Marvel is set to give us World War Hulk,
yeah,
a five-issue limited series. Finally, we're getting some information, which starts in June with Greg Pak and our pal, John Romita Jr.
Aww.
As you may or may not know, Hulk has been alienated. Although that's not even funny.
No.
He's been sent to some alien planet called Sakaar, and the Hulk battled his way through the planet the socioeconomic system of the planet there. And he started out as a slave and then became a gladiator and then the king. And now he's coming home. And he wants Iron Man, Reed Richards, Doctor Strange, and Black Bolt, and anyone else who gets in his way of getting them. I guess that is the...
What? Gets in his way of getting them?
Yeah, I guess he's after those guys, and anyone who stands in his way is going to get theirs, as they say.
They're going to get their Hulk smash?
Yeah. Possessed by the fiercest and purest rage imaginable, the Hulk may pose the biggest threat that Earth has ever faced.
Wow. I still don't care. David Goyer, who was working on a Flash movie for the Warner Brothers, I believe we have talked about this before, no longer working on the Flash. He's moved on from that project due to creative differences. The next project, or the new project that he's working on, is Supermax. It's Goyer's take on supervillain incarceration in the DC universe, revolving around a wrongly convicted Green Arrow.
Really?
Yep. Apparently it involves Green Arrow getting wrongly convicted for some crime, his identity being revealed, and the silliness and chaos that follow.
Is this the kind of crime that requires him to go door to door in the next neighborhood he moves into?
It depends on what arrow he's using.
The boxing glove arrow.
Yeah.
The handcuffs arrow.
Punching kids in the face?
Yeah.
The drill arrow.
I was thinking the rubber ducky arrow, or perhaps the candy in the back of my dark van arrow.
Whoa. I've never seen that arrow. Booster Gold is returning to the DC Universe. Not that he left, but he's returning in the form of his own series, which will be written by Jeff Johns and Jeff Katz, with art by Booster's creator, Dan Jurgens. Now, here's the mystery.
The Dan Jurgens? Yeah. Writer Dan Jurgens?
That one.
Just wanted to clarify.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Are we through?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, just because the guy is an artist doesn't mean that he can't write.
I'm just saying.
Point of this being is that Booster Gold died in the 52 series.
Right.
So how the hell are they going to do this?
Voodoo.
Flashback.
I think voodoo's the best answer ever. It's got to be voodoo.
That's what they do in Weekend at Bernie's.
That's what I know.
That's how he gets like that.
I remember the two guys trying to capture like a pigeon, right? Because they couldn't find a chicken.
Right.
Wow, it's sad that I know that. That was Weekend at Bernie's too, wasn't it?
Why doesn't he ever like decompose?
Lots of makeup.
Maybe because they did it like a half-assed job, so he's kind of like not stuck decomposing, but he's not alive yet.
Cartoonist Johnny Hart, who you may know from the popular newspaper comic strip BC, passed away.
Really?
This week. Yep.
Damn. That's one I like.
You know what? BC is one of those strips kind of hits and misses with me. Sometimes it gets a little too preachy for me, which I know Mr. Hart has been criticized of in the past.
Criticizing
overall,
a dead guy.
It is a pretty good strip. I do enjoy
it.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I can be completely off base on this, I think he had something to do with the Wizard of Id strip as well.
I like that one too.
I really like the Wizard of Id. That's one of my favorite strips from the Sunday Funnies.
So I like the Alchemist of Ego.
I don't know that
competing
one.
Strip.
I don't know that one.
No, nothing?
No.
The Loners, book we talked about a while back.
That's terrible.
From Marvel. It's funny stuff. Issue 1 came out last week with Sabluski, Moline, and Strain on the book. It's a spinoff of the...
Runaways?
Yes, Runaways. And right on the cover is their slug line. They used to battle evil, but now they're trying to save themselves. And I can you hear it? Can you almost hear it, man?
I can. It's...
There are 6 former crime fighters with little in common meeting as civilians in a spandex self-help group. A mutant, a monster, a renegade, a rebel, and a lost soul. Before this story is over, they'll take off their masks, reveal their secrets, and decide if they can truly stop being heroes.
It sounds a lot like that, and it sounds like It sounds like something you would read on the back of like a B movie DVD box. Just, it sounds kind of hacky.
Again, that's the way he read it. I mean, you're never going to know. Can you read it a different way?
Yeah, sure.
Can you give it a different treatment?
The whole slug line? The whole thing? The description and slug line?
They used to battle evil, but now they're trying to save themselves.
See, I'm more interested now.
They're six former crime fighters with little in common, meeting as civilians in a spandex self-help group. No, there's no way to know that.
No.
The slug line, maybe, but the moment they were in a spandex self-help group,
yeah,
it was over.
You kind of lose it right there. But while we're talking about B-films, why don't we talk about Harvey I Must Be High Weinstein, who is talking about splitting up Grindhouse in the theaters soon into two separate movies.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is a bogus rumor.
I don't think that it is.
I think that it is.
Apparently, I had heard originally that they were going to split it up for the DVD release, that they were going to release them as separate movies. Apparently, Weinstein is not happy with the $11.6 million opening weekend that the movie took in, and he feels that it's too much of a time commitment for patrons to go and dedicate 3+ hours to a movie. Although, correct me if I'm wrong, but how many epic movies have we had in the last 6, 7, 8 years that have been 3 hours or so? It's not that unusual.
Lord of the Rings?
Exactly. It's the first one that comes to mind. Not to mention that the movies are broken up. In theory, they're broken up by some mock trailer. So if you really needed to get up, you could.
But you probably don't want to miss the mock trailer either.
I agree with you. But if you really are incapable of sitting still for 3.5 hours, that would be the time to get up, I would think. With each movie coming in little under 1.5 hours and then some mock trailers in between, if you had to get up to hold your attention span, that would be it.
You know, I'm kind of surprised that there's not more breaks in movies as it is to, you know, kick you back out into the lobby and buy $5 jujubes or whatever the hell it is. Because they look to make money anywhere.
What's your problem with the Jews?
Didn't way back when, you know, 67 years ago, didn't movies that had like, that ran 3 hours, didn't they have an intermission like Gettysburg? When that was in the theater, wasn't there an intermission for that movie? And
I don't
that
know.
Was like 3+ hours.
I don't think it fit on the tape, so maybe they
Kev?
Had a cut there.
Gettysburg, intermission at the theater, wasn't
yes.
it? Dances with Wolves.
Gettysburg. I don't remember Dances with Wolves having or not, but Gettysburg did, and so did
the sequel, Gods and Generals.
Gods and Generals, which was actually
a prequel.
What did it? What happened? Did it just like show a blue screen with a countdown?
No. A piece came up that said intermission. And the lights
but no
came on.
Indication of when intermission ends?
Well, I'm sure it was a clean cut. And
no, they have what's called... see, Fantastic, you're so uncultured. They have what's called the entr'acte day. It is a piece of music, probably some 4 to 9 minutes long, that is played to indicate that it is time to take your seats and for the show to continue.
Uncultured? I go to the fucking movies at Clifton Commons. There's no more culture to be had than going to movies there.
Speaking of Clifton Commons, we're hosting the Spider-Man.
Oh, are we? Oh, yeah. Excellent.
Another new manager over there. So.
Excellent. And that's coming up shortly, right? May something,
yeah,
right?
Something, yeah.
But back to Grindhouse. It totally defeats the purpose of Grindhouse if you split it in two. The premise of Grindhouse is a double feature of B-movies. So if you split it, it becomes self-defeating, doesn't it?
I don't think it's going to happen, because I think Quentin Tarantino has too much of an understanding of what it means that it's two movies, and he's been, in every interview that I've seen at least,
sure,
talking about the fact that it means something, that it is two movies, and that they are, you know, separate, different, but complementary, and
right.
I think that they should stay together. I don't think people really have that much of a problem sitting through 3 hours of movie if it's a good enough movie.
Exactly. Now, when you visit Indianapolis, you have something geeky to do, in case you didn't have something prior.
Okay.
All right.
The American Superheroes Museum has opened up, or is going, no, opened up, yeah, March 31st in Indianapolis. Founder Dane Nash was fascinated with Superman as a child, and he opened the museum to showcase his large collection of Superman, Batman, and other memorabilia, including original costumes worn on TV, and in the films from the 30s on. He's got a replica of the Batmobile.
He's that guy.
And some other stuff.
I know that guy. You see him every now and again. They do some little article on him or
something. Yeah, he pops up.
He's got like that humongous Superman. I think Batman's only recently, in the last several years, he got into Batman. But I think before that, he was the Superman guy.
Really, what this guy has done is taking an idea that, at the very least, me and Kev have joked about for years.
Still have that
idea. And turned it into reality.
His dream.
For years, it's like, you know, you've got a huge action figure collection. I've got a huge action figure collection. We should open up a museum. But this guy's actually doing it.
So he's like the Steve Sansweet of DC Comics?
Sure.
You know that guy?
Yeah, the Star Wars guy.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. That guy. I don't know how he's so, I mean, he's famous now.
I don't think he buys anything anymore.
Well, now he doesn't, but I know that he was originally just like a giant fanboy that kind of worked his way into a position of being Star Wars pundit.
Mm-hmm.
He's everywhere. True.
I like the idea of having a museum in your name associated with your collection as a means of getting rarer, harder to find pieces for your collection to put in said museum. You know, maybe stuff that you wouldn't have access to prior, you may have access to now. Maybe someone makes a donation or has something that they want to display or something in your museum. I think it's kind of a gimmick, honestly.
Yeah, once you get a name for yourself, you got people running around out there with jackets and fedoras finding stuff for you.
That's what I'm saying.
Leather jackets and fedoras.
Just Cross of Coronado belongs in a museum.
Oh, that guy.
Just keep going.
So do you. Isn't that the line after that?
So do you.
It Dr. belongs Lee. In a museum. So do you. The Complete Peanuts.
Ooh.
Latest volume is out, 1963 to 1964.
Which volume number is this?
I believe this is number 7.
87. Oh, 7.
Okay. Number 7, yeah. You're kind of getting into the meat of the situation here by this point. The characters are well established, sure. And you're kind of starting to get it into that, a lot of those, I don't want to say cliche because that's not exactly right, so those classic bits that would run for generations and pulling the football and the heartfelt philosophical conversations between Charlie Brown and Linus and all of these things are beginning to happen
right
here. And don't forget it's this sort of stuff, now that you're getting into the middle 60s, it's this sort of stuff that inspired them to do the more well-known Charlie Brown stuff, obviously the animated stuff, the first of which was the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
Sure.
And that would be coming up, I can't remember. Fantastic. Can what? You IMDb a Charlie Brown Christmas and tell us in what year it premiered?
Kevin, I know that one off the top of my head. It's 1965.
1965, wow. Right. So
I'm impressed.
So this was probably, that special is probably already in production by the time you get to the end of the strips that are in this volume. So, that's very exciting. You're getting really into the meat of the situation here.
And potatoes.
They're going to do them all. I mean, it's going to be humongous. They're only on 64.
Wow.
And he stopped in what?
Yeah, 2000 something.
3 or something like that, whatever it was, 4. It's incredible. 40 years of this. Still to go.
Jesus
Still
Christ.
To go.
And how many years do they do at a clip? One or two?
Two. 63 to 64 is this one.
Wow, that's insane. That's another 20 volumes.
Exactly. Crazy.
That's
right?
Going to be a nice collection when it's all said and
done. I'm telling you. It looks great pretty. On the shelf already.
Sure. Two of the probably best known modern martial art masters as far as film go, Jet Li and Jackie Chan, are coming together to work on a new project, The Forbidden Kingdom.
The Forbidden Kingdom.
Lionsgate and the Weinstein Company will be co-distributing the film. Rob Minkoff will be directing the film. And the bloke who choreographed Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon is working on the choreography for this film. I know absolutely nothing else about it, storyline or whatnot. All I know is that production begins next month, so May.
I like Jackie Chan, but this sounds like this is going to be more of a Jet Li style movie than a Jackie Chan style movie. Like less improvisation and beer bottles in play, and more jumping kicks where the guy kicks like 8 times by the time he hits the ground.
You know, I don't know. It's going to have to walk a fine line because it's got to stay away from martial arts films, because Jet Li, if you may or may not remember, has said that The Protector, which came out last year, now on DVD, you can get it. That was his last quote-unquote martial arts film, because he had done what he wanted to do with martial arts from a belief standpoint.
Yeah.
So he was moving on to other type films. So I'm thinking that it's going to be very Hollywood, in which case it might be a healthy combination of both.
But it's still, who's going to do the acting?
No one, really. So I want to know who's going to do the translating.
Who's the third man? Is Chris Tucker in it?
It's Chris Tucker.
Is Owen Wilson in it?
And, Shanghai, the Forbidden Kingdom. The Forbidden Shanghai Kingdom.
What are you reading?
Nothing.
Come on, share with the rest of us.
All right, so I'm thumbing through the new issue of Toy Fair.
Are you?
Which came out. I have to say, I like the direction that they're going in here. I mean,
where is Kevin? What have you done with him?
It's more about the toys.
Wow.
And less about the nonsense that preceded it.
Smallville alum Eric Johnson, who was Whitney Fordman on the show, is recently been cast in the title role of Sci-Fi Channel's 22-hour series, The Flash.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's the only one that's been cast thus far.
And who was he again?
Who was he on Smallville?
Yeah.
He was Whitney Fordman.
Whitney, was that the Clark Green Kent's Arrow slash Aquaman slash?
No. Okay. No. This was he was one of Clark's nemeses on the show. I'm not overly familiar with Smallville, so you'll have to excuse my ignorance.
Nemeses.
Yes, exactly. Begins filming May 1st in Vancouver. And yeah, that's all we know about it so far. No one else has been cast, like I said. But I don't know. I'll be interested to follow it at the very least.
A book called Wasteland by Oni Press has been collected into its first 6-issue collection, including the double premiere issue, which was doubly sized.
Okay.
Written by Anthony Johnson, drawn by Christopher Mitten.
Okay.
This is the book. I had to pick it up because of what Ain't It Cool News said about it. And it actually, they put that on the cover, which I thought was very cool. It's one of those, you hear a description like this and you're like, okay, what are they talking about?
Right.
Ain't It Cool News said that this book kicks 7 different kinds of ass.
Huh.
So I picked it up.
Is that a trade there?
It is a trade. Okay. Yeah. Trade number one. It collects, as I've just said, the first 6 issues, including the double-sized first issue.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, why would you?
I never do.
It's only the show.
Exactly.
It's a post-apocalyptic kind of thing. It's in black and white.
Of course it is.
It looks really impressive. The art is really impressive for a black and white book. You know, I don't do black and white books, generally speaking.
Right.
Except for, say, like Black Coat. This one looked really good, so I had to pick it up immediately.
Sure.
And so I'm encouraging all of you to check it out. Wasteland by Oni Press, Book 1, Cities in the Dust is what it's called.
Excellent. Imagi Entertainment, the company that brought you that new fandangled, very fancy, very cool-looking TMNT film that opened last month, has 2 big projects in the works. One of these projects is Battle of the Planets.
Really?
Really. And the images I've seen so far look awesome.
We have a few of those images online with us right now.
Oh, we do.
If you're watching with your picture iPod or
right
on the QuickTime Downcast download, you can see the pictures. My fucking Regis Philbin?
Apparently.
And if you're listening on your iPod...
It's like a cross between Regis Philbin and Moe.
It's the incredible. Simpsons.
No, it was...
Gelman.
It was. I think it was Regis and Larry Fine or Larry King.
One of them. Gelman.
Gelman!
So, yes, for those fucking of you guy. Who are fans of Battle of the Planets or Gotcha Man or whatever the hell you want to call it, Imagine Entertainment doing a film looks awesome so far. The other project that they're working on, which I haven't seen as much about, although I am excited about, is Astro Boy, another very popular franchise, well-known character, obviously. And I'm curious to see how they handle both franchises, and I'll follow them closely, I'm sure.
Very exciting product here, Matt.
Very exciting.
This is called the Pirate Primer. And it is basically Mastering the Language of Swashbucklers and Rogues by George Choundis.
Not going to lie, my pants got a little tight when I saw that.
By Writer's Digest Books, by the way. This is basically a dictionary about, what'd you say that? Inch and a quarter?
Yes.
Thick of pirate...
Everything.
Terminology, like a dictionary, like a primer. They're talking about different expressions, different words. They break it down into categories. It's fantastic.
It's sort of a mixed breed between a dictionary and like a loosely put together encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Something through it, I saw just, you know, a little bit more than you would see in a dictionary. I mean, we're talking about, you're not getting just a word. It's, you know, it's part of speech and a definition. I mean, you are getting a little bit more and usage and stuff like that. Really, really cool book. I think it's multifaceted. I think if you're fascinated with pirates or have anything or are interested in pirates, it's a perfect book for you. I think if you're into pirate reenactment and you go to any of the big pirate festivals around the country all year long, or you're interested in getting into that, it's definitely a good book for you. And if you're a gamer... and you're interested in any kind, like, you know, GURP swashbuckling or anything along those lines, I think it would serve a purpose there as well. You can almost use it as like a reference manual or a user's manual for that type of character. It's a really, really cool book. Neat little hardcover. What's the retail on that, Kev?
The retail's $19.99.
So,
or $24.99.
I mean, it's a great price for the amount of information that you're getting there. And it's a pretty looking book. I know I got to pick one up for myself now.
Yes, you do. Because I'm not giving you mine.
I don't want yours. And in this week's holy shit internet movie clip of the week, we have a follow-up to something we talked about a long, long time ago. Ryan versus Dorkman. I don't want to get into it too much tonight. Because I know a lot of you haven't seen it. And I think that this is an interactive conversation. So what I want is, I want you to go to our website, follow the link to Ryan versus Dorkman. If you haven't watched the first one, watch the first one. Then watch the second one. When we come back next week, I'd like to talk about it a little bit more. Because you need to see these guys in order for you to understand and appreciate what we're going to talk about.
And with that tease, we will take a break and come back and wrap up the show.
Yes.
Shouldn't we do something else before we wrap?
Shh. Beating the clock.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff. Or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKevsGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm in the US, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm not in the US, I listen to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and when I'm not eating my bubble and squeak, I'm listening to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Hello, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. When I'm not eating my bubble and squeak or shooting the chavs, I like to listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. More bangers and mash, please. Gee, howdy. This is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Whenever I'm in the U.S. and speak like House, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Bubble and squeak.
And welcome back to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 53, Beat the Clock. Go, Matt.
You were in such a rush during the news segment of this show that you forgot something that we wanted to discuss.
I know. I tried to make it seem like that we were going at a natural flow pace, though, and I was kind of like a little laid back and kind of doing my show prep as we go along.
Right.
And like I did, in the interim, forget to talk about the Hellboy animated PVC set that came out from Dark Horse last week.
Yeah.
Includes three figures: Liz Sherman, Hellboy, of course, and Abe Sapien.
Sapien. Now, are these movie Hellboy or are these comic book Hellboy?
These are neither.
Oh.
These are the animated.
Oh, right.
Hellboy, okay. Based on Sword of Storms and the...
And the other one.
The other one. Iron something. Something.
Irons. Blood and Iron.
Blood and Iron. Very good. Very good.
Aww.
Hellboy animated three-piece PVC set from Dark Horse Comics. Horse. And I think this retails, I don't remember what the retail was on this, but it's a good price for three solid figures. Really, but three and a half inches.
Yeah, it's standard PVC figure size. I mean, that's pretty average for that size figure. So
they're nice, but I just wanted to include that because we were going to talk about it in the news, but we're trying to beat the clock, and by my count, we got 28 minutes to get through this segment.
Consider it included.
And go.
So what we have in front of us now is the Superman Batman Vengeance action figures. It's Series 4 in these DC Direct figures.
Series 4 of Superman Batman.
Right. This line is Vengeance. I apologize.
I guess that's based on the storyline called Vengeance.
Probably you would be correct.
Okay.
The line includes six figures.
Let's take them one at a time.
Let's.
And we'll just roll right through them.
Okay.
I'll do one, you'll do one?
Sure.
All right, we'll alternate. I have Kryptonite Batman.
All right.
This basically looks like a lime green. I was going to go with lollipop, but when I thought about it more, it looks like one of those Chinese plastic jade.
Yes.
Looking material that you get at like plastic imitation
that
Chinese statuary
from the 25-cent.
Well, no, I was thinking more along the lines of flea market, a little more upscale than that. It's basically Batman. All his black parts are black, but his gray parts
are green.
Would be kind of that. It's almost a translucent green. Now,
right.
It's not really a solid. It picks up the light. It glows. It's
supposed to be kryptonite.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. And on the back, the description of Kryptonite Batman. When the Joker got his hands on Batman, he united him with a being of practically pure kryptonite named, appropriately, Mr. Kryptonite.
Kryptonite!
Possessed by this other being and bent on destroying Superman, Kryptonite Batman is a deadly foe of the Man of Steel. I did not read this storyline in Batman Superman.
Neither did I.
Right now, I'm kind of glad.
Right.
And if the Joker was in the book, why hasn't there been a Joker figure in the line yet?
Well, do you want my harsh opinion would be you should be grateful there is no Joker in the line.
No, because any Joker, sir, is a good Joker, as we know. But I know what you're going to say.
Okay.
I know what you're going to say. So okay. I just want to, let's do an introduction, a description, and let's save our criticism and critique
for
the end.
Okay.
Okay, you go.
So then the first one I'm looking at here is Batwoman. In Batwoman's alternate universe, the Dark Knight is a she. When Batman shows up in her world courtesy of a boom tube, the two join forces to wipe the smile off the Joker's face.
Again. The Joker is referenced, and there's no Joker in the line.
Right. Okay. Well, that's mine.
Okay. I have Bizarro.
Alrighty.
What's funny about Bizarro, of course, is that everything is always backwards. What's funny particularly about the packaging of Bizarro in this line, Matt, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but his on the front, they have a little sticker that says who the character is on the bubble. His picture is upside down.
See, that's pretty funny. That's clever. Funny.
On the back, of course, we get a description. Bizarro number one, created by the Joker with borrowed powers from
Exactly.
What?
Say it.
It's Mitzelplick.
Okay.
I know how to say it. I just burped at the same time.
Oh, right.
Borrowed powers from Mr. Mitzelplick, Bizarro is a revised doppelganger of Superman with a twisted sense of logic. He is a constant foe and sometimes friend of the Man of Steel.
It's true.
Okay. Do I need to read this book? What is all this, Joker, that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
But I do have a reprieve for... Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, hold on. I just want to say also that he comes, of course... in the purple suit, backwards S, the absolute Joker-ish looking grin, appropriately.
Right.
And the little sign that he wears around his neck indicating that he is indeed Bizarro number one.
Correct. And a complimentary piece to your Bizarro, but without the Joker in the description of the figure, I have Batzarro. Batzarro, the world's worst detective, is Bizarro's best friend, and the two band together to help Superman and Batman. Like a twisted facsimile of the Dark Knight himself, Batzarro relies heavily on his keen detective skills, which have a tendency to backfire. So it's Batman. The bat logo is upside down on the chest. The head is vaguely reminiscent of an alien. From the movie Aliens.
Yeah, his eyes are kind of covered, but the jaw is...
But the jaw is pronounced with the teeth.
Yeah, that's good.
That's kind of what it looks like.
That's a good analogy.
So that's Batzarro.
I have Superwoman.
All right.
Who, if we check out the back of the package, we find out the female version of Superman from a parallel universe, Superwoman is her world's greatest hero. Together with Batwoman, her strongest ally, she jumps at the chance to stop Darkseid and the Joker.
It's true.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Did they really need to do this butch cut head Superwoman? Didn't we just have a butchy Superwoman like
a couple of
lines ago?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I mean, she got some wicked thighs. And
we'll get there.
All right, we'll get there. Okay. And finally,
I have Batman Beyond. There's so much I want to say, but I'm saving it.
Okay.
I'm saving it.
Okay.
In the future, Bruce Wayne has recruited another Batman to replace him in his old age. With high-tech equipment and youthful exuberance, Tim Drake, the sleek successor for the mantle of the Bat, has learned from the best just how to strike fear into criminals' hearts. So for the most part, this looks like your atypical Batman Beyond figure.
Black costume, red symbol, no cape.
Right.
Much like the TV show. The TV show actually was not Tim Drake. Ed McGinnis. Not Ed McGinnis. Terry McGinnis. Ed McGinnis is the subject of...
So he was Tim Drake in the comic book?
Who?
I guess. Batman Beyond?
That in whatever
that's weird.
Scary version this is, he was,
That's weird.
I know. In the, I guess in the cartoon continuity, Tim Drake is possessed by the Joker in the Return of the Joker.
Right.
And is kind of even older in that sort of thing, in that show and or in that continuity. Oh, God, I suck.
You do. But you're trying to beat the clock.
I know, but I can't sacrifice the quality of the show just so I can enjoy my little vacation.
Oh, this show's quality has been sacrificed many a time. This is just one other time to add to the list. Can we get to the criticisms?
Somebody wake up Fantastic.
Do I get the start?
Okay, go ahead, because I know what you're going to say, but I have a way in which you can look at this and maybe find some relief. Okay.
I'm going to start with the positive. I'd like to think that I can occasionally be positive when I'm feeling so awfully critical.
Like to think that, do you?
Bat-Zaro, awesome-looking figure. Really enjoy that figure. Out of all six figures, it's the only one that I would want to own for my collection. There, that's the positive. Now the negative. Batman Beyond apparently did not drive beyond any fast food drive-thrus on the way to being made into this figure.
Okay, he's a little chunky.
He is large and in charge. It is a Batman sculpt painted to look like Batman Beyond. They have not slimmed down the character or the figure at all to accurately represent the character.
Hold on.
Okay.
You don't know how that character looked in that book.
And I would agree with you, except for the fact that I'm looking at a picture on the front of the packaging that I'm assuming is Batman Beyond, and he does not look that chunky in said picture.
Oh.
So I'm chalking it up to production costs.
Okay.
Because the sculpt is as a matter of fact, if you look at the Batman figures and Bizarro and Bat-Zaro and Batman Beyond, pretty much, for the most part, it's the same exact body sculpt on all four figures.
Okay, so that's your criticism.
Well, no, my criticism is that at the very least, Batman Beyond does not look well. He doesn't look good.
Okay.
As far as Batman Beyond goes. Right. Like I said, I like Bat-Zaro, and even Bizarro is pretty good. However, Kryptonite Batman, I don't know. The head sculpt doesn't look good to me. I don't really appreciate the body sculpt. Something's goofy with his chin.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like Ash wearing a neon green Batman uniform.
I'm going to help you.
Okay.
I'm going to help you out.
All right. Help me out because I need help apparently.
First of all, you know this is series 4.
Yes, I do.
After series 2, I was ready to bail on this series.
Okay.
Right? And I didn't buy series. I can't remember. One of them I didn't buy. 2 or 3. I can't remember which one. We actually reviewed the last one on here. Remember that big hawk man was in the line? Okay. Right. I think that was this line.
Power Girl was in this line somewhere along the lines too, wasn't she?
The figure, well, yeah, but not in this. She was in the Crisis line.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. I'm right. That's right.
Here's why. These are based on the art of Ed McGuinness.
Are they?
Yes.
Does it say that on here?
Ed McGuinness is the artist on Superman Batman. The book on which these figures are based.
Okay.
Now, that being said, he has a very cartoony style.
Okay.
Which is a little SD in places. SD, for the uninitiated, super deformed. So he's a little deformed in some places because that's the style that he chooses. So I want you to just for a second think about this. I want you to try to look at these as 6-inch versions of animated characters.
Okay.
Right? If you look at it that way, all the animated characters that we have looked at in the past, let's pick one cartoon. Let's pick Batman.
Right. Right?
The Batman animated series from the 90s, which structured that, you know, that whole, all whatever the hell it ended up being, 4 or 5 shows, including the Superman show,
right,
all had the same style of animation.
Sure.
All the figures look the same.
Right.
Generally.
Yeah, it was the same body types. Right.
I want you to try to look at it that way.
Okay.
Since Ed McGuinness has established a style, they're taking that style and applying it to these different characters.
Then my criticism would be that perhaps they're taking an exaggerated style, that of Ed McGuinness, and exaggerating it further. Because I like Ed McGuinness.
Well, yes, I understand what you're saying. But don't forget, DC Direct is not concerning themselves with multiple points of articulation.
I'm not even talking about the articulation, though.
Okay.
I'm just talking about Ed McGuinness's style is an exaggerated style.
Right.
But the figures look like, then, if we're going to say that they're based on Ed McGuinness characters and they should be exaggerated because they're Ed McGuinness characters, yada, yada. The figures, to me, still look like exaggerated versions of Ed McGuinness's style. So now you've taken a character and you've exaggerated it to make it look like Ed McGuinness's style and then exaggerated it again for a figure line.
I think what it looks like to me is, as I'm holding the Kryptonite Batman, it looks like Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Is playing Batman.
And I'm sorry, but Batwoman and Superwoman, I mean, come on. The thighs on this figure are bigger than my forearm in real life.
Well, you do got tiny little twiggy arms.
Dude, look at those things. Actually, it looks like they should be a nutcracker. Like, perhaps I should break Batwoman out around the holidays so I can open up my walnuts and almonds when I'm sitting around the Christmas dinner table reminiscing with Grandma over shots of Sambuca.
I actually caught Fantastic during the break checking out the abs on all of the figures.
All the figures?
And Fantastic, do you have a report on the abs?
I got nothing to say to report on abs.
Well, I saw you checking out the abs on these toys.
They made a mistake in this toy fair.
You're reading Toy Fair while we're working.
The problem is here is that the figures look too much like Chris Benoit and not enough like Leonardo DiCaprio. If they had looked like Leonardo DiCaprio, Fantastic would be all over the abs.
Be all over them.
Completely and totally.
You're right, though. They kind of do look like Chris Benoit.
They do. Look at this. Look at this Batman. Doesn't it look like if he removed the cowl and smiled, he'd have a big, giant gap between those teeth?
It's cool. They're good sculpts, and they're cool. It's just to have everyone look almost exactly the same, because they're not the exact same sculpt.
Right.
They're 99% of the
exact
same.
Right, but that was my criticism of the animated line in general. My criticism of the animated line is that they're using the same body type and changing it and tweaking it for individual characters.
Right, but see, but
it's good criticism.
But this is where I have a problem with your Ed McGuinness theory. I think that Ed McGuinness is a talented artist who's capable of showing differentiation between the characters and their body types. So if you're doing a figure line that's supposed to be based on his art style, then the body types should not be that similar.
Okay.
I mean, you can't say that about the Alex Ross figures.
No. Nope.
All those body types are completely different, yet they're based on the art style of a single artist.
But Alex makes them look very different. And I don't think that Ed McGuinness makes them look as different as you think. They did a line. Remember it came out? This is the one I'm missing, but you remember because I showed you pictures. There was Green Lantern and Aquaman and somebody else. They were all the same body type, slightly changed for each individual character.
Right.
And that to me struck me. It actually struck me after the fact, which is why I missed that line. It struck me after the fact that they're like six. If Ed McGuinness did a cartoon and somebody decided we're going to put out figures of the cartoon, this is what they would be.
So the question then lies, and I think we can probably wrap this up shortly after, but the question then lies, who do we blame? Or who, maybe not blame, maybe blame is too harsh. Who do we point the finger at? Because I think we need to point the finger at somebody. Is it Ed McGuinness's fault or is it DC Direct's fault?
I don't know.
Healthy combination thereof.
I'd say it's, again, to assess fault, I would say it's the fault of the people who were so behind the lines that have come out previous to this one to make this line go on. I blame DC Direct for not doing the Joker yet.
Yeah, but you're skirting the issue of these figures. Who do you blame? Is it Ed McGuinness's style? Is DC Direct doing an accurate representation of Ed McGuinness's style?
That is a yes.
And so DC Direct has done a fine job. The problem therein lies, or
then,
the problem
then
lies
I'll go
in,
with Ed McGuinness.
In choosing Ed McGuinness's style to support a line.
Then I'll go with Ed McGuinness.
Okay, so Ed McGuinness's fault. That's fine. Somewhere I'm bothered by the figures. Whether you want to put it on McGuinness and the artistic style, or you want to put it on DC Direct and the sculpting style, I'll leave it up to you.
What I say is, if you look at this as you would look at an animated line based on one sort of stylistic approach.
Right.
And it happened to be that Ed McGuinness was the stylist in question.
Right.
These figures are spot on Ed McGuinness
okay.
Translations. And it just boils down to, do you like Ed McGuinness?
Or do you not?
Like, yeah, well, that. And do you like kind of one style working its way through the entire line? So if you don't like this style, you're not going to like any of these figures. Maybe you'll like one, the odd right. figure here and there. I thought that Hawkman,
I thought was awesome.
That's amazing.
I really do. I really do like the Bat-Zaro figure. Right. I think it's a really nice figure.
Well, I think we'll have to
agree to disagree.
Because I think they've done a fine job with the line, and that's fine.
Okay.
And you think that I think it boils down to you don't like the style of Ed McGuinness.
Well, I think,
at least as it translates to 3D.
I think that we have punched and kicked the clock, and we need to take a small break before we come back for the final pin.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev's Geek Stuff or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Hey, this is Samuel L. Jackson from Snakes on a Plane, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Welcome back to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 53, Beat the Clock, and this is the wrap-up portion of the show. Go, Matt.
Susan Sarandon, John Goodman, Speed Racers, Parents.
World War Hulk, 5-issue limited series coming from Marvel, launching in June, courtesy of Greg Pak and John Romita Jr. Hulk returns to Earth after being exiled to the alien planet, and he wants to kick the asses of Iron Man, Reed Richards, Doctor Strange, and Black Bolt,
and anyone else who gets in the way.
Hellboy 2, Big Red battles more beasties.
Going for the gold, Booster Gold returning in his own series once again. Even though he died in the series 52, the guys over at DC Comics, including Jeff Johns and Jeff Katz and series creator Dan Jurgens, have a way to bring Booster back in his own series. I can't wait to see how they do that.
The Green Arrow and his child molesting Arrow of Doom will be in his own film, Supermax.
Kid Toucher Arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll be a film?
Yeah.
I thought that was a book. I must have missed that.
No.
The Loners, issue 1. They used to battle evil, but now they're trying to save themselves. I don't want to wait for a lot to be over. Yeah, whatever. Spinoff book from The Runaways. Looks like it could be, at the least, an interesting read. Maybe we'll have a read of it. We'll talk about it next week in episode 55.
Five.
I said five.
I know. Johnny Hart, will miss you. My condolences to your family. I enjoyed BC. If you did indeed do The Wizard of Id, I enjoyed The Wizard of Id. And the Alchemist of Ego. And you are a great artist, and it's sad to see you go.
Alchemist of Evil, funniest joke on the show. So,
not so much.
Today.
Never.
The Complete Peanuts Volume 7 or 8, did I say 8? 7?
Yes.
7, 8. 1963 to 1964 has arrived, and it must be on your bookshelf. Kind of Shatnered my way through that there.
You kind of did Shatner your way through that. If Harvey Weinstein has his way, Death Proof and Planet Terror are getting divorced in a theater near you.
We should say also that there were no DVDs of note to talk
about.
No
DVDs of note this week.
Should have said that during the news.
That's right.
The Pirate Primer, a book by George Chowndis, is sort of a combination dictionary, encyclopedia, blah, 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 which helps you master the language of swashbucklers and rogues, about an inch and a quarter thick. No pictures. It's all about text.
It's all
great,
verbiage.
Great little resource book.
The American Superheroes Museum opened in Indianapolis March 31st. Go get your geek on.
Hellboy PVC set number one, featuring characters from the Hellboy animated series, Liz Sherman, Hellboy and Abe Sapien from Dark Horse Comics, has arrived. These are about 3 inches tall. They're really well sculpted and very pretty PVC set.
Jet Li and Jackie Chan enter the Forbidden Kingdom.
New issue of Toy Fair is out. Looks good. Check it out at newsstands. And in addition, check out Wasteland Volume 1, or Book 1, Cities in Dust by Oni Press.
Smallville alum Erica Johnson gonna be the Flash.
We should denote that it's Flash Gordon and not the Flash.
Defender of the universe.
You've been saying the Flash, haven't you?
I'm saying, yeah, the Flash, but yeah, Flash.
He's going to be Flash Gordon.
I know. I think I said the Flash this time. I don't think I said it earlier.
I really was not paying attention.
I don't think I said it earlier.
I think I did.
I could have. Whatever. If I did, I did. It's Flash Gordon. If you couldn't pick up on it at that point, get over it.
Look, there's only one Flash, and his name is John Wesley Shipp.
Or we could talk about Imagine Entertainment doing Battle of the Planets and Astro Boy. Or we can remind the listeners that they need to go and watch Ryan versus Dorkman Dose so that we can talk about it next week in episode 55 of Geek Stuff.
Yes. In segment two.
We can move on to the toys in segment two.
Segment two, we talked about Superman, Batman, action figures from DC Direct series number 4 based on, I guess, the Vengeance storyline, it would seem.
Yep.
6 exciting characters: Batwoman, Superwoman, Kryptonite Batman, Batman Beyond, Bizarro, and Bat-Zarro, no Joker. And there you have it.
We agree to disagree.
We agree to disagree. Done in the style of Ed McGuinness. They do seem to be very stylized. Beautiful. And so based on that, it's a very acquired taste. You're either going to like these figures or you're going to hate them. There's no way around
it. I concur.
And you don't like them, I hear.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I would like to say, you're a nappy-headed hoe.
I think he was talking to you, Fantastic.
Shut up.
And on that note, we cue the music.